All right, gentlemen over here, you can have this mic.
So, like you said, Vasana will open the door.
But Vasana will not open the door. Vasana will open the door and the fire can be opened.
So my question is, Newton found out gravity from a falling apple. So how it happened to you? Sneakers, how?
Man, I shook the damn apple tree, so all the apples fell.
There's a passion in all of us, and that's something that we really like, right? Like, I like dressing nice, like even if I go to the mall or even if I just go out, I like to dress nice. So that's my passion. Like, sneakers are my passion. You guys would think I'm crazy if I say this. Before Sneaker Tub started, I had an addiction, not drugs. My sneaker collection right now is 330 plus pairs. So it was an addiction, but like I knew I needed help, so I converted it into a business. See? Good. You have to find your passion, man. Whatever you're passionate at, and if you want to build a business around it, or if you want to build a charity, a non-profit around it, but you have to build it around what you're passionate about. Otherwise, you're not going to give your 368 days of the year towards your business, right? Is that a good enough answer? You can always shoot back.
I think one of the most important things that I think we need to say this: not everything you're addicted to can be turned into a business. We don't want the narcs coming and finding out that this was Kamaj's advice.
Hey, I have lawyers, like I can always contest.
I
don't have lawyers, actually. I outsource that. So I have a friend who's a lawyer.
Is he Indian?
No, he's not. He's actually Canadian. Sam Pose, a shout out.
Right. So, a follow-up question to what you were saying, right? There are some people who say in order to be successful, you have to dress the part. And there are other people who are like extremely successful, like say Mark Zuckerberg or Bill Gates, who are extremely simply dressed, right? So what's your view on that? It's like a mentality thing. You need to dress up to feel good about yourself, and does that just reinforce the whole thing, or does it not matter?
I mean, it's a personal brand, right? Zucks is Zucks, right? He's not going to wear a tux. See that, right? It's personal brand, man. Like, create it. Like, I'm like a sneakers, jeans, and t-shirt, chain guy, unless I'm asked to wear a blazer.
Forced
to wear a blazer. You know. It's fashions, obviously, you know. Fashions very subjective. There's people who's been invited to the White House who wore sneakers. I think it was the owner of one of the NFL teams, Falcons, if I'm not mistaken. I'm not sure. Don't quote me on it. But it's up to you. No one like cares about like what you dress anymore, except for like these guys. Obviously, I'm taking the Mickey out of you. I'm just kidding, bro. No one cares. Like if your game is strong and if you're like if you're a smart guy and if you can like go into a room and wow a bunch of people, I mean, go in shorts or for all that. And just like, let's stop thinking like it's 1970. We're in like 2018 now, so like, let's act like that. This is my personal view, by the way.
And I believe Manusia Maninakale, the giver, is one of the things that people need to understand, right? Questions from you guys. This is anybody here? Right? I think Prakeet has a question. Here we go.
How much when you start a business, definitely you might have bad times where you really want to quit. And with being married, and you might have a lot of pressure on that. So how do you keep your focus, and what makes you going for it?
You know what I thought? What's the worst that thing that could happen to me? I could die. But dude, like I'm fortunate enough to be standing on earth and being able to, like, you know, drive my own destiny, do what I want to, and why do I need to be negative, or, you know, why do I need to, like, take the easy way out and quit and go, like, work for another guy? So that's my mentality, that's how I work. So I always think I'm gonna die at the end and I'm gonna regret it, like, when I'm on my deathbed. Surround yourself with like positive people. Like, when you're down, obviously, like when the business was not working well, or when there were tough times, I couldn't get retail accounts. Like the people closest to me, like helped me get out of that rut. So like surround yourself with like-minded people, surround yourself with very positive people, and I think that's one of the best ways to get out of that rut. And also, you know, like things like that, when you're an entrepreneur, it could be long or it could be short, but you know, there's a yellow brick road out there, man, somewhere. So like, just keep thinking positive, think you can do it, like in your head, like think like you're better than Zucks, you're better than Steve Jobs, and like those guys like don't mean shit, right? Like, be the man in your own head, but like not like overly like, you know, not like overly egoistic, but you know, like be very positive and do work through the hard times. Let me ask you this, are you going through a tough time in your journey? So you're anticipating tough times.
This is free therapy, right?
That's negative energy, my friend.
I know I have worked with 361. One of the main things they always say is, Masham, focus. So that's something that I have always struggled. Sometimes I move out. So just want to check on that.
Yeah, man. Practice makes perfect. Keep focusing. I hope I answered your question. All jokes aside.
All right, so follow up on that, on the Dragon's Day, one of the things was like, you had two big offers, right?
Yeah.
So one comment was that, you know, you've got to learn to let go of some things. How do you evaluate the process, especially if you're someone's trying out, they're like, they want everything, and sometimes you have to let go. What's the thinking process behind it? How important is it to let go of things?
Like what you guys saw, the pitch for 7 minutes, but I was in there for 2 hours, like, it's a really hectic, like, look into like every like little nitty gritty detail about your business, I was in there for 2 hours. But like, it depends on what you want. Like when I went on the Dragon's Den, by the way, that's like the deal on TV. The ad on TV is wrong. So the actual deal was 100,000 for 40%. I would have never given up 40% for $50,000, which is, yeah, you know. But it's definitely what you want to do the business. Actually, I didn't go there for the money. I had the money, I went in there for a primetime TV spot where 4 or 5 million people watch it. Like, I can't pay for that TV spot, so I got a free TV spot, right? That's why all you guys are here. See, I've done good for myself. Not bad, Kumash, not bad. And it depends on your business, man. Like, if I went in there for the connections, because I wanted to use the Dragon's connections. So it really depends on what you want and the things. It's crazy when you're in there, like the energy is crazy, and I was like so pumped up, like more pumped up than this for some strange reason. When I have to pitch or when I have to like give a speech, I don't eat. That's a thing, because when I eat, I feel full and I feel terrible. So I didn't eat the whole day, but like the adrenaline rush was like so great. Like all the questions, I answered them really well. And between the two deals, between the two ladies and the four dragons, I thought more is merrier. And with each of their connections that I could find promised land pretty fast. And that's, it really depends on what you want in life and what you want your business to be. But don't give up majority shares of your company, because you know, someone's gonna come and take the company away from you. So also, I have trust issues. I don't like to work with a lot of partners minus the Dragons, as I told you, because I've been burnt before, and you know, I don't want to go down that road again. Like whatever decision I make, I want, you know, creative decision. I don't want to have to run it by anyone. Like I want to be, see, I'm the man, like better than Zucks in my head. So yeah, it really depends on like your own business, and you know your business better than I do. So you make the decision which you think is right for you. So I made the decision that I thought is right for me, but like a lot of people, like, you know, slam me on social media saying like, this guy is stupid. Some guy from Africa was like, this guy is like stupid, like why did he take this deal? And in my head I was laughing. This is how I deal with the haters, right? I laugh at their expense and I'm like, what did you do today, my friend? I built a business and I got a Dragon investment. Like, you did nothing. You're probably sitting on your couch and like hating on people. So
a couple of points, right? So we talked about how you earlier did that other thing that's not supposed to be on social media. Everybody here knows what I'm talking about.
These guys are serious.
And the other thing about how you went on there because you needed the publicity, right? So these are tactics that would increase your circle of influence, right? So talk about influence marketing and social media. For traditional business or for a business that's coming up, we're always used to like there needs to be the papers, or there needs to be a billboard, and there needs to be an email flyer. But then on the other hand, there are these people with Instagram accounts with like 30,000, 40,000 followers, Facebook accounts and stuff like that. We could use them to influence the target market, right? So for traditional businesses, plus for startups, how important is it to approach the influence market?
This is my personal belief. So I think content and influence marketing is the future. Well, the future is already here, but you know, and content goes a long way. Even if you're like a woodworker, you can create like, give me an example of like a traditional company. I just can't think.
Someone selling insurance.
Insurance. Oh, insurance. You can create content around insurance, right? Like, you know the TV ad we create,
that's also not supposed to be on social media, right?
Not a sponsor. You can create like, what's worked for me, I'll tell you what's worked for me. It doesn't matter, this rule applies whether you're traditional, whether you're a new business, or whether you're like a guy just putting out content because that's what he loves to do. Creating an experience is more important than selling a product. So your traditional advertisements like, but look at a LinkedIn commercial, you get a LinkedIn cost, right? Have you seen the commercial with like Matthew McConaughey on it? No? Go check it out when you're home. They never asked you to buy a freaking LinkedIn. They show Matthew McConaughey in the back of the car, chilling, resting, like looking like a superstar, and they create that fantasy of a Lincoln. So I think that's what's missing in like Sri Lankan advertising. No hate to people in advertising. I know you're trying to sell to the mass markets, but I think it's about time we change that with digital, right? Like we don't have to do the same thing that traditional advertising does. So like creating experiences and creating content that emotionally connects people is the way to go, no matter if it's a traditional business or if it's a startup. So I think content is king. That's something that I truly believe in. Like I put a lot of content out there through other people, through influencers, and those pieces of content just keeps me bringing new subscribers, keeps me bringing new new users, new buyers, new revenue, like every day. So it's, once you put it out there, like it lives forever, you know that, right? So just you know, don't worry about the views, don't worry about the numbers, don't worry about how many likes you get. Like, just start creating content for your business. Like, it could be a Facebook Live video. Like, you could just be like, you know, you don't have to shoot it professionally. Like, as long as there's some kind of
content. And your dog can be barking in the background, right?
Sorry, yes, my dog's a Great Dane, and he's about this tall. I don't know if there are any dog people in the room. Any dog people? People who like dogs? Two? Is that three, four, five, eight? Okay. He's big. He's a menace.
All right, any audience questions? Come on. Yep, here we go, madam. We'll get you the mic.
I feel like this is going to be a really serious question, and I'm really going to suck.
This is around self-discipline. So moving from a corporate job to creating your own business, how did you sort of create that self-discipline? And like, I guess you did mention that you work 24/7 pretty much, or how did you sort of transition from your discipline being governed by a job?
So for the first week, this is how I was. I was on my couch in my underwear with a cold glass of scotch in my hand at 9 a.m. I just gained freedom and I got keys to this world, right? And I was watching Netflix. Like, I did that for a week. Like, I had started the company already and I had some subscribers coming. And then I thought to myself, man, like, this is not going to work out. One, you're going to finish all the liquor in the house, which is not good.
which is good because you can always go back and buy more.
Then what, you know what I did? I actually thought to myself of creating a plan, a little timetable for myself. So I'm not a morning person, so you know, you don't have to become a morning person to be successful unless you have a 9-to-5 job and you have to be there at 9, please go to work. Don't quote me on it saying that, you know, you can go at 10. But I created a little timetable for myself. I woke up at 9, which is not a bad time. I dressed up. That really helped me because got out of their underwear, put a fresh pair of underwears on, shoes, the whole shebang, like you're just going to work, and I created a little workspace for myself inside the house, amongst all the massive amount of sneakers, right? And I treated my home, especially when you're working from home and you're when you're just a startup and when you don't have an office, I treated my home like an office. And I actually made sure I sat there for a good 8 hours. Well, 4 and 4 lunch break in between, obviously. You can take about a half an hour lunch break. But yeah, like it's create a plan for yourself and like discipline will come along. I hope I answered your question.
Yeah, thank you.
Are you
no,
are you the startup?
No, I'm just thinking.
Everyone's thinking, why are you not doing it? What's holding you back?
How
close are you to your goal?
Quite close, I would say. So I'm on a sort of a long-term vision. Things I'm trying to work out.
Good on you, good on you, good on you. Give a round of applause for her. Give me the pleasure.
All right, any more audience questions? Here we go. The competition is asking questions again. Here we go.
I actually went back and bought like you know like a 50 piece order from like one of the guys, so I'm safe. Yeah, the first one. Then it became 50, and then it became 250, and then it became 500, and then it became yeah.
I think one thing we're seeing as a recurring theme is Kamaj's Jilmar tactics, right?
So Jilmar, yeah, no, no Jilmar got it.
All right, I think we have another question over here. Yeah.
And so guys, we need you to hold the mic close to your mouth and speak loud, okay?
Sorry.
Hi, Kamal. I use it like you were working for a corporate and then suddenly you want to move to your own. So how did you manage to get the legal framework of your company and say, you need to have the employee contracts and partner agreements, the town team package, and HR policies. And there are many procedures that you need to follow.
Yeah.
You know, in Sri Lanka, just to register a company took about...
I'm trying to register one right now, and it's a nightmare.
Yeah. You have almost 3.5 weeks. And register a name is also like, you know, more than a week. So, you will have to follow a hell of procedures. How did you manage that?
Okay, I'm going to ask.
answer your question this way. I don't obviously have experience in doing business in Sri Lanka. I did one business that happened with Sterling Pursuit, just me and my friend, like, sending a bunch of emails to people and promoting a party. So that's not a real business, right? Fortunately for me in Canada, the framework has been built, and it's really easy to like register companies. At first, I didn't have any employees. I only like hired people like a few months back, so I didn't need HR policies. But I'd say like fake it till you make it, man.
Especially
accounting. I outsourced it actually. This is my personal. This is what I did. I outsourced it to a company basically. But for the first few months, I actually did it myself. I was terrible at it. So as I said before, like if you know you're not good at something, if you have the funds. You can. There are cheap options. Like you don't really have to hire a full-time accountant. Like just get an intern. Like and I mean I'm really against like getting free work from people. That's something I really hate. But like you know, all the interns I've had, they like sneakers and they want to work in a sneaker company and that's why they come to me. But you know I pay them their like travel fees, whatever. Like buy them lunch whenever I can. So yeah, like, I mean, there's be creative, like find a way around it. Like, what's your problem, like specifically? Like, I hope you guys don't mind. Like, I'll go into like problems specifically because this is why you paid money and you came here, right?
Yeah, actually, you need to have the proper accounting in order to know where I paid it. And the other aspect is like, you know, in some cases, if you're pitching, especially corporate. If your target market is open, then you need to provide the financial statements and your maybe the bank balancing, right? So in that aspect, I know that you are dealing with the B2C market, but when it comes to B2B, you especially need to have a proper accounting and chart policies and you know your mission statement from that stage.
Do you have a company right now?
Yes, I recently started.
How many people have worked?
Three.
Okay, so yeah, you. I don't know. I don't know. I don't actually, like, if I don't know something, I'm going to say I don't know it. I don't actually know the answer to this question about HR policies because, like, if.
No, especially when you will have to, you know, pay the EPF here.
Yeah.
Right? So, if not.
Death and taxes, man. Death and taxes.
Yeah, exactly. Otherwise, you will be in trouble in some day.
Yeah, you don't want to be a criminal, you know that.
Yeah, that's right. You know, that is what I asked. You know, how did you overcome those?
Like for me, it was so. I basically did not pay much attention to accounting, which I shouldn't have done till I had to pay taxes. So, but I paid. A reasonable amount of money to a really good professional who handled it very professionally for me. But as I said before, like find someone really talented. Like if money is your problem, if you don't have money to pay them for accounting, or if it's like really expensive, or can you research and find a good system? Is that your problem? Sorry, I'm not.
No, actually, this thing is like there are many outsourced companies.
Yeah. Guys, like, it's not just me asking questions. Anybody would like to ask the first question? Anybody over here?
Sorry, guys, my mouth is really dry, so I'm going to keep drinking water through this. Session.
All right, we have. Here we go. We have a mic for you.
I'd say it's the mystery aspect of the subscription box that seals the deal. Not just in sneakers, like the subscription platforms do in North America, but my target market's a very strange target market. It's people who just started collecting sneakers, so they're not very brand specific, or they're not very, you know, they don't want the latest style that comes out. So they like a good surprise, they like all brands, and they just want to start a collection. So I've found that niche. But
in trying to expand my business, I run into, you know, those 21 to 25 year olds who are the fans of like the latest Jordans or the Nikes or the Yeezys. So that's not the audience that I create to. So like I cater to. So I found a niche audience. I think that niche audience worked for me. Really, the subscription model is really strange. People pay for something that they don't know what they're going to get. But the mystery aspect of the box is the selling point. Yes?
So,
sort of
part is like the size of the
It's all built into the website. So when you log in, you enter your size, you enter your clothing size, and then we ask for your Instagram handle or your Facebook handle. So for premium packages, we'll like, one of the stylists, probably me, I'm the only stylist, I'll go in there and look at their Instagram and basically cater to what they kind of wear.
So it's like they subscribe on a product basis or a box basis, or like
it's like 6 months subscription? There's different options. So you can either do monthly, you can do 3 months, 6 months, or annually. And also like the best feature about SneakerTub is from our competitors. Actually, I don't have any competitors.
I think you're creating one in Sri Lanka right now.
Oh, yeah, that's
kidding. I'm kidding.
No, just go for it. Like, bring some game. Like, I'll be inspired. Actually, like, I'll answer a question first and go into another little rant of mine. So basically, how I sorry, repeat your question again, Mike.
Oh, that's interesting. The person asking the question and the person answering don't know what the question is. This is why you need a moderator.
Exactly.
Right. Let me try and replay that back. You were asking about... exactly. That's the one.
Oh, yeah. 3 months, 6 months, 12 months. And the best thing about... Oh, that's how we got the competitors, right? The best thing about SneakerTub is you can skip, cancel, or pause anytime. Let me ask you a question. Are you planning on doing a subscription business?
Yeah, I
can see
that.
Did I
reply? Dun, dun, dun.
See.
Did he reply? He replied, right?
Oh, okay. I reply to everyone unless they ask. Oh, nice. Yes, check out a service called or a site called Brave Joy. So when I started Gridjoy, they went all that great. So now you know how like things are mobile optimized. So when you like create, I don't know if you like tried creating anything. Yeah, so it's like automatically mobile optimized, but I had to call up my good friend Gurjeet from India to mobile optimize my SneakerTub site. You know the guy who did my final project?
Yeah.
Like I called him up. I got to 10 years. Yeah, like check out Gridjoy. You know, it has its challenges and it has its problems, but that's the best subscription platform out there. And I'm looking to Shopify as well. Shopify does recurring billing. But like the reports and the backend support you get from Gridjoy is the best. Sorry if it got too technical.
Well, go right ahead.
It's a total surprise, but what we try to do with our social is to basically tease them to say, oh, like these five models are in the month, but you know, like cut some of them out or like blur some of them out and like create the mystery there, but like only leave one open. So they actually know what they're getting, but they don't know what they're getting. Yes, you're smart.
All right, let's leave that room until later. We have another question, right? So we're talking about leading in uncertain times, and with uncertainty, obviously you talked about how the house was full of sneakers and your wife was really supportive. How important is it to surround yourself with people who support you when you're going to make a big decision, especially for people who are budding entrepreneurs, or even when you're working in a company? Like there are stressful hours, there are things that you don't expect to happen, all of these things happen. And then a lot of the times it's your family that has to suffer, right? While you're not at home, et cetera, et cetera. And especially when you're trying to run this business, I'm sure it's all the skills. How important is it?
I'd say have a direct conversation with the people who's holding you back. Like, is it your mom? Just call her up, be really nice to your mom and say, Mom, I love you. But a I've been doing what you wanted me to do for 19 years, 20 years, 30 years, whatever, but let me do this for 2 years and prove to you that I can actually do this. So if it's your family, treat them nicely, try to explain to them. But if it's your friends who's holding me down, which has happened to me personally, not with Sikita, but just generally in life, because I choose to keep my circle really small and only to roll with people who support me. There have been times like I've like cut people out of my life, like forever, because I know they bring negative energy into me. I'm a very positive person, very happy-go-lucky person, so like I don't want that negativity around me. So if this is my advice to you, and this is you can do it or not, but if someone's holding you back, if someone's negative all the time, just cut that shit out.
He's gonna start rapping a bit, I think, okay? Talk about uncertainty. What are your methodologies for managing uncertainty in terms of market readiness? So, after Sneak Attack, then KitGrid, all of these things. So you have, say, somebody here has an idea or a product. What are the things they need to evaluate in terms of consumer readiness, in terms of promotion, etc.? Are there any things that you can say? Look at these aspects of verticals.
So I'll tell you a little story about, a lot of stories today, I hope you guys don't mind. You know, you need to learn from, or get inspired from real life examples, so I try to, you know, say as much stories as I can. So, probably about 6 months ago, I look at like my data. I'm not a great data analytics guy. I'm not proud of it, but I kind of know like how my system, like my ecosystem works, like with my subscribers. I should really invest in a good data analytics system. So anyone here doing data analytics, hit me up. I looked at SneakerTub, I looked at the revenue, I looked at the subscribers, the numbers, did some research. I just found out that there's no direct competition for SneakerTub. There's no one doing SneakerTub. Something similar to SneakerTub would work, because there's no sneaker subscription service, right? So I'm like, I'm losing a lot of customers. The churn rate was quite high at the start, obviously, because you know I didn't have all of my ducks in a row, I didn't have all the brands, so customers were leaving. So I think about 7-8 months ago is when it got to a solid point where, you know, I got the customer base that I really wanted, like people who are interested in a variety of sneakers. That's my perfect customer base. Then people don't complain a lot. So what I did was, I was thinking of a way to get the customers that I lost back into my ecosystem, right? I tried many promotions, like join back will give you $10 off, join back will give you 50% off, join back will throw an extra pair of sneakers for you. Nothing worked. You know what I did? Guys, if you're on Facebook Live or something, this is like really private, so this can't go out in the world, so stop right.